Assumptions about the nature of life. We might say that life is a jungle, a challenge, a battle, an opportunity, or whatever it is that expresses our personal conviction. What we think life is determines so much about us. Our assumption serves as a standard by which we interpret and measured our experiences. Whether or not it is true, our assumption about life also greatly influences the quality of life we experience. It affects the choices we make in everything, from our careers to our relationships to the religious or spiritual beliefs that we will ultimately adopt. Let me give you an example by sharing the phases a good friend of mine went through when he was learning to sail. He and his wife, Amy, own and sail an 18-foot catamaran. To achieve enough knowledge about sailing to be able to enjoy it in relative competence, they experienced and passed through what they describe as three phases that are very distinct. He labeled them the victim phase, the survivor phase, and the mastery phase. When my friend began sailing, his lack of knowledge put him at the mercy of the elements. Each time he would venture out onto the lake, his hope would be that the wind would not blow harder than his current capabilities could handle. The wind in this early stage had the power to control his attitudes. When it was mild, he felt secure and safe and confident. When it was strong, he was insecure and frightened. In this phase, the wind took on an interesting personality. It became intentionally tricky. It would wait until he and his wife got a good ways out onto the lake, and then it would begin blowing fiercely. It would seem to say to my friend, "Who do you think you are, little man? Why do you dare challenge me?" His inner reply would be, "Yes, yes, you're right, and I'll never do it again. Get me off this lake. I promise I'll never do it again. What was I thinking?" Now, sailors are special people, he thought, and I can never be one of them. Just let me go home and read my sailing magazines, and I'll be content. Now, isn't that the kind of attitude that we see held by many about the nature of life? The basic assumption is that life is uncertain, it is difficult, and often very dangerous. The individual is a relatively powerless victim in relation to conditions and spends a great deal of time hoping nothing ever goes wrong. Caution is the key word, because potential disaster blows with each puff of wind. A religious or spiritual belief formed from this victim level is full of ignorance and superstition. In this stage, an individual would be drawn to a religion or a teaching which assumes that life is a struggle, a battleground between the forces of good and evil. In this view, the human being is frail, insignificant, a worm of the dust who was tossed helplessly between these two struggling forces. Safety and ultimate salvation depend upon an act of divine intervention rather than one's own frail abilities. God's ways are taught to us as mysterious and not to be understood and never to be challenged. Failures in life are attributed to God's mysterious will or to the weakness of the individual. In such a religion or teaching, prayer takes on a begging and beseeching form. Your fate after death, another great mystery, will be determined by how well you bear up under these often troublesome waters in life. With luck, you will go to heaven, a place with perpetual blue skies and mild breezes. If you're not able to bear up under the troubles brought by the windy days, you are sent to hell, a place where skies are cloudy, winds are cold, and 60 knots an hour is considered a breeze. Now, somewhere in my friend's evaluation as a sailor, there was a major shift in his attitude, and he found himself in a brand new phase. Eventually, he became fed up with being controlled by the wind, and he decided that he was going to fight back. He characterized this phase in this way. One day you stand up, you grit your teeth, and you shake your fist at the wind, and you say, "Blow as hard as you want. You may beat me up, you may turn me over, you may crash me into the shore, but you will never, ever get the best of me. I am a survivor." When you are in this phase, your favorite saying is, "A smooth sea never made a good sailor." You pit yourself against the elements. You even develop enough courage to mock them. You begin to draw upon your inner resources with the purpose of creating a force that is greater and tougher than the external force you are contending with. It is the rip, the bash, the kick, the push, the cuss until you whip it phase. On a sailing trip in this frame of mind, my friend's wife, who is his crew, might have turned to him and asked the irrelevant question, "Are we having fun yet?" And his reply would be, "Of course we're having fun. Now sheet in the jib." Again, there is an interesting parallel between this phase of learning to sail and a common attitude toward life. There was a time not so long ago when it was popular for a person to say, "I am a survivor." The implication that goes with this title is that life is tough, but I do everything I can to be tougher. Survivors feel that they are doing their part as long as they are getting scarred in some sort of battle. They like to display their wounds and show others what they have been through. You learn quickly never to share a personal survivor story with true survivors, because they will always top yours. Survivors are graduates from the victim phase. From a religious perspective, a survivor may either perceive God as a tough fighting ally or an ineffective wimp. In either case, the driving determining force is the individual. There is a potential for atheism here, because having begged and beseeched at the victim level with no sign of divine intervention, God can easily be perceived as being either indifferent to human suffering, too busy to do anything about it, or altogether non-existent. It's just you and me against the world, as the song goes. On the other hand, a survivor may retain a strong belief in God as a kind of military figure, fighting side by side with them through the battles of life. When the hymn Onward Christian Soldiers is sung in church, a survivor sings slightly louder than anyone else. But as much as an ally as the divine may be, God is still considered a secondary force when it comes to dealing with life's traumas. The major focus of the survivor is upon their ability to beat the challenge. If it is going to get done, it will have to be done by them. Eventually, my sailing friend found himself having graduated to another phase of sailing. He wasn't saying that he had mastered the art of sailing by any means, because that must be a lifelong project. Rather, the mastery phase is that level of sailing where you feel confident in most any weather. You have developed enough self-esteem as a sailor to recognize and stay out of conditions that are beyond your capabilities. You no longer have to prove anything to anyone, including yourself. And best of all, you free yourself from all superstitions about the wind. It is no longer out to get you, and no longer do you have to go out and beat it. At the mastery level, you begin to develop your own identity as a sailor. Having evolved enough presence of mind to handle an increasingly wide variety of conditions, you even begin to become creative. The counterpart to this phase of sailing, of course, is a way of life that is taught and practiced in divine science. Divine science teaches us how to be competent sailors on the sea of life. It is not a teaching of promises that one day all harsh winds will cease and all will be forever calm. It is a way of life that helps us understand and harness the occasionally strong winds of life and use them to our advantage. Instead of scattering our forces through reactions of fear and anger, we direct them toward the constructive handling of situations. We no longer hunker down in fear and superstition under these winds, expending great amounts of energy for little or no progress. Experience allows us to flow with the wind, to have enough presence of mind to use it to our advantage. With each gust, we find an incentive to reach deeper within ourselves to find a level of mastery that will enable us to see good everywhere. Life is good. It is only a limited system of belief that causes us to think otherwise. Many influential religious and philosophical systems are based on the limited perceptions of incompetent and superstitious sailors rather than the true nature of God and life. Remember, our perception of the basic nature of life will determine how we handle each wind that blows our way. The victim will see it as an experience to be gotten through as quickly and as safely as possible. The survivor will see it as just another fight that he or she hopes to win. But the master will see it as an opportunity for learning, for advancement, for growth, for adventure and excitement. In sailing and in life, the mastery level is the most fulfilling. Life is not a thing to be rigidly defined. It is fluid, it is infinite, and it has so much potential. Being an integral part of life, we see that our assumption about life must also be fluid and open to infinite possibility. From this level, life is good. There are mysteries, to be sure, but these mysteries do not hold painful surprises. They are secrets that, when understood, carry us to new and exciting adventures on this wonderful sea of life. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. Close your eyes and limit your possibility of distraction. And rest your feet flat on the floor. And place your hands in a comfortable position, either in your lap or at your side. And just relax for a moment. Shake off the tension that your body is holding and be still and quiet. And take in a deep breath and let it out slowly. And as we let it out, we are letting go. Letting go of our worries and our concerns, our fears and our superstitions. We're letting go of any anger, any resentment, any jealousy. We're letting go of all negativity. And we're going within to be still, to be very still, and go to the center of our being, where our Father waits with open arms to welcome you with love and peace and joy. I am the beloved child of God. I am made in His image and His likeness. I am perfect. I am whole and complete. I am without flaw. I am not a victim, nor am I a survivor. I am that I am. I am the very Spirit of God. I am the Christ. There are no human conditions, no human circumstances, no relationships, diseases, or any lack that belong to me. For God, my Father, is the source and the substance of me and of my life. He is my greater self, hidden in this flesh and bone. He is the love and the grace that are my guide, my strength, my protection, my wisdom, knowledge, and my understanding. He is the love and the light that surrounds me and all of creation. He is goodness. Therefore, there is no need for me to hold on to any fear, doubt, or any other negative idea or belief. My Father is the only power, and that power is good and just. My Father protects, guides, and shows me the way. I am always safe, I am always secure, and I am always whole. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes His light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you all that He is and all that He has. Amen.